A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
I trust in the Lord, my soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
For with the Lord is kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through the Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Our liturgy for this fifth Sunday in Lent is dominated by the theme of resurrection. Of that which is dead being brought back to life. The prophet Ezekiel is one of the major prophets, because his body of writing when he prophesied is quite significant. It's a lot. Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel are considered the major prophets of the body of writings that we have collected and maintained in the sacred scripture of the Bible. In this particular section of Ezekiel belongs to a larger body of his writing, his prophecy, and it's usually recognized as known as the dry bones prophecy. And it's a word that's being spoken through the prophet on behalf of God to the people who are exiled. They are in a very disheveled way. They've experienced the experience of their consequences of breaking fidelity with God. And so the prophet is now speaking a word of comfort, a word that speaks of them being brought back, if you will, brought back to life. Because for them, they were dead. In the condition that they were experiencing, being away from all that they had come to value and recognize in relationship to the temple in Jerusalem, all that was no longer there for them. So as far as they're concerned, they were better off dead. So we hear this word of the prophet speaking about the immediate situation then, but also about a future time in which there will be a time in which God will sprinkle clean waters to cleanse us of our sins and draw us out of our tombs. This is a wonderful word that points us towards today's gospel. If we've been paying attention since the third Sunday of Lent, as we have transitioned from the cycle B readings to the cycle A readings, which the church always encourages be used, not only if you have catechumens, those who are being baptized for the first time, those who are coming out of the darkness into the light of Christ to be born again, of water and spirit, but even for us who have experienced these regenerating waters and who have this promise and who have been confirmed in the spirit to walk by faith, not by sight, to know that even now we are participating in Jesus the Christ crucified and risen from the dead in the spirit. We too need to be reminded of what has happened to us when we were claimed by God in those waters, however long ago it was. For most of us, we were infants. But it doesn't change the reality of what happened. We were infused with the very life of God. We became a new creation. We are participating in the life of Jesus, the dying of Jesus, and the rising of Jesus every day we walk on this earth. One day, the reality of what we are participating in will be fully realized. One of the reasons why this particular gospel has been chosen prior to the final Sunday of Lent, the sixth Sunday, which will be Palm Sunday. We'll have a lot of fanfare on Palm Sunday. We'll start outside if the good Lord provides us with wonderful weather. We'll start outside and we'll have the blessing of the palms and we'll come processing in, just as the crowds did then, crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, laying down garments in front of the Lord. But right now, we see how significant this moment is. Jesus is with his disciples. He's received message from the daughters, the sisters, Martha and Mary. We know very well, we should be very familiar with Martha and Mary. Martha is the one who's very much extroverted. She is the one who takes pride in offering hospitality and in keeping things in order, in crossing T's and dotting I's. Mary, on the other hand, she is the sedentary one. She's very happy to be contemplative, to sit down and have wonderful conversation with you, but especially Jesus. As we know, we were told she was the one who wiped his tears, washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And we know the stir that caused in the household of the Pharisee Simon. But Jesus was very much aware of her heart and the intention with which she was performing such an act of kindness to him. Prefiguring, of course, the reality of what we are now embarking upon, which is very now near at hand. His triumphal entry, his final entry into Jerusalem to realize the promise, the gift, and the promise of the Father. To redeem the world. To give every human being on this earth the possibility of believing in Jesus, accepting the gift of God through Jesus so as to live now and forevermore in God. So the way the message is given to Jesus and how he receives it tells us that Jesus was fully aware of the situation. He knew. In other words, this was already set in motion by God the Father for his Son to be glorified. This was to be a definitive sign or miracle to fortify, to reinforce, to confirm the faith of those who had already come to believe in Jesus, as we heard Martha give that wonderful confession of faith, which is right up there with Peter and Thomas after Jesus comes back from the grave and comes in. And then, of course, Thomas is there this time around. Come here, stop in your believing and in your disbelief and come and probe the nail marks. And he said, my Lord and my God. Well, here we hear the sister Martha say, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the one who is coming into the world. What a statement of faith. And Jesus is happy to hear it. But he loves them enough. He loves them so much, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, in each of us so much that it wasn't enough. He wants them to have an absolute conviction in him, not just as the Savior, but as the one who is literally the life and the resurrection. So he purposefully stays on two additional days to make sure that Lazarus had fallen asleep. Well, of course, always can count on the disciples. Johnny come latelys, you know, they're the Johnny come latelys to state the obvious. Well, if he's asleep, he's resting, somebody he'll be saved. He'll wake up. Somebody will wake him up. They thought Jesus was only referring to him taking a nap. And then, of course, Jesus spoke clearly to them, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad that I wasn't there. So now you will believe. You will finally believe that I am the one that the Father has sent. And, of course, we see how everything plays out. But notice how, and I think this is important for us, when it comes to presenting God, presenting Jesus with prayers of intercession. Say someone in our lives is up against a very difficult situation. Maybe they too are in a situation of great illness and have suffered greatly. Notice how the sisters send the message to Jesus. Master, the one you love is ill. They didn't say, Master, you know, Lazarus, our brother, who loves you, he's ill. Mm-mm. Or, Master, our brother is ill. Can you come to heal him? They put their full presentation, they lay it into the depths of Jesus, who they have no doubt has love for them, the one whom you love. Jesus can't resist. He cannot resist. He's love in the flesh, incarnate. Love naturally wants to give itself away. So he goes. Martha meets him first. We see how it goes. She kind of jabs him. If you had been here, you know, if this could have happened and you would have been here, you know, he could have never. Mary takes on the same, almost like she's echoing the same refrain. But before all of this, Jesus elicits from Martha, do you believe this? Yes, Lord, I believe. Where have you laid him? Roll back the stone. Ugh, there's going to be a stench. Remember, look at how Jesus, did I not tell you that if you believe, you shall see the glory of God? You notice, he didn't have to say it twice. They were ready. The crowd there, they were ready. They were already rolling the stone. Probably even why Martha was saying, that's going to be a stench. Everybody wanted to see this. Remember, they had fully realized, they had already witnessed Jesus do some pretty phenomenal things. But this one they had to see. For a person to be in the tomb for 4 days. Remember, the Jews did not embalm the bodies like the Egyptians. They prepared the bodies as best they could. They wrapped them and laid them and put the spices and so forth with the body in there. That was it. And then it would let the body decay, and then they would go back and retrieve the bones and store them in a what do they call them? The sarcophagus. The sarcophagus where they would kind of keep the bones like they had. They carried Joseph's bones when they were being delivered out of Egypt. They had his bones with them because he told them, please, when it's time, when we get delivered, please bring me out into the promised land that God has set for us. So this was the reality. So by the time the fourth day would come, the soul was believed to have departed, and there would be no way to recognize the body from that point forward because decay would have set in. He calls Lazarus by his name in a loud voice, and death has to obey. He releases Lazarus. Lazarus comes forth, wrapped from head to toe. Jesus gives the directives, untie him, let him go. Let him go. Lord, the one whom you love is ill. This illness shall not end in death, but it is for the glory of God. Lord, my brother, whom you love is ill. He has this addiction. Lord, please help him. Lord, my nephew has been recently diagnosed with an autoimmune deficiency. It's about all we can handle right now. We know you love him. Please, do something. Help us, guide us, enlighten the doctors. They have no clue. But a few examples of how we can follow the lead of Martha and Mary, who had the joy of hosting the Lord. Now look at us in this, the time of fulfillment, in this, the time of the new and eternal covenant. The Lord now relishes the opportunity to host you and I at least one day out of 7, week in and week out, to say what to us? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will not die forever. They will rise again. St. Paul reminding us of this in his writings to the Romans today. The prophet Ezekiel, the time of fulfillment has arrived. It's for you and I now, today, in this the holiest and sacred time of the year, preceding the joy of the feast of Easter. This particular miracle has been chosen by the church and by Almighty God in concert with the Holy Spirit to be set before us because it beautifully prefigures everything that will happen to Jesus during Holy Week. His own suffering, his death, his being laid in the tomb, and his rising from the dead, not being beckoned by anyone. He, who is the life and the resurrection, will come forth himself. And the stone will be rolled away, not because he needed it to be rolled away, but so that you and I can go in and see. Come and see where they laid him. And hopefully we will emerge from that tomb as Peter and John, seeing but believing, and still wondering at what it means for one to have to rise from the dead. Awake, O sleeper, arise from your slumber. The day is now at hand. Jesus has realized this miracle for us now, as he did for them since then. And hopefully it stirs us. It confirmed Martha and Mary's faith, and all of the crowd that was there came to believe in him, as Jesus spoke to his Father before commanding Lazarus to come forth. Father, I know that you hear me. You always hear me, but I've said this for the benefit of those who are here. Lazarus, come out. God love you.